We thank God, you know, for another good morning that God has given us to look at His Word. And we started looking at the rebuke or the message of God to the seven churches. And so far we've been able to see the message of the Lord to Smyrna. We have seen the message to Ephesus, where they had lost their first love, to Smyrna, where they were being persecuted. We had earlier looked on Pergamos, which was where they were compromising. But then today we are going to look at the church in Thyatira. And ideally, it has a concern about who is allowed on the pulpit. And this is something that we'll see about this strange fire, or rather the strange doctrine that was coming out. And then as well, also you'll see about this issue about depths of Satan, you know. And this is something that is a big concern to the church, especially today where there is mixture, and where you find that some things are being done and you ask yourself, is this really of God? Is this really of God? Where in scripture do you see this? And you can just know that some things are just demonic, some things are just depths of Satan that people are being introduced to in the name of Christianity. But then, and you know, the reality is they are now being exposed, because now we are in a time of, you know, social media where you can see some things, and really your heart or your spirit within you doesn't tells you clearly that this is not right. I mean, there's no way that you could, you know, you could see some things and being done, and that tells you that this, it's quite sad, because the reality is even some witch doctors now are on the pulpits. They are on, you know, they are on, they have churches, they have followings, they call themselves prophets. And the sad thing is that you find that they continue to corrupt the body of Christ. And unless one has discernment, you will be lost in it. You will be confused, and you can end up in the wrong direction. And this is the thing that we see in Thyatira. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 2, we're in verse 18. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, and this thing says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass." You know, when I've always said that there are different ways in which Christ was introducing himself to the churches. And if you look at it, you can see what we saw prior is that when he was telling them, "I'm the first and the last, I am the one that was dead and now is alive." But now you see he's telling this church that, look here, I am the one who has the eyes like a flame of fire and my feet like fine brass. Now, that is already telling you that he is looking at them with the eyes of judgment. That means, remember, we spoke about fire coming to test, but there is also a fire that comes to judge. That the Bible says that our God is a consuming fire. And when this fire comes, it comes to get rid of all corruption. It comes to destroy the works of the evil one. And you see, when it speaks of feet of brass, that means he is coming to crush. He is coming to crush everything that is not planted by God. Because the Bible says that every tree that is not planted by my Father, he will uproot. And this is something that is a concern with this church. And verse 19, it says, "I know your works. I know your love, your service, and faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first." Now, God starts with commendation. He says, "I know your works. I know your love." So they were working. Yes, they had love for God. They were serving one another. They had service. They had even faith. And beyond that, they even had patience. And that even their works were not only just works, but they were increasing. That's why it's saying that they are greater at the last than the first. That means that they were not, you know, this is a church that was not going down on its level of effort. It was moving forward. It was growing. They were giving more. They were, you know, whether it is service, faith, their love for God, they were, they were constantly increasing. They were constantly doing better. But then there was a concern, and this is Jezebel. And verse 20 says, "Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you permit or you allow that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, but she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Unless they repent of their deeds, I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works." Now remember, Jezebel, when we speak of Jezebel, we are speaking of a spirit. Now, he's saying that, and remember when Jezebel was there, what the actual Jezebel, she was actually like a witch or a prophetess of Baal. And by her, she led the king astray. She had this worship of Baal. She will kill. She killed. She organized the killing of Naboth. She will grab whatever money she could get. And the thing is, the spirit of Jezebel goes after the head of the prophet. I mean, and it's always after to kill the true prophets. But you see, apart from it just being a spirit of, you know, immorality, you can think of Jezebel, and imagine, I think if you read where she died, the Bible tells us that when she was about to be, you know, when she knew that the city was taken, what did she do? She started to paint her face. Now, that is something that it was telling us that she was already, she knew that she could confuse people with her beauty. You know, she could confuse people with her beauty, with her charming, with her deception. And so, in like a city is taken and all she's concerned about is painting her face. But you see, the people who killed Jezebel were eunuchs. Eunuchs are those who are castrated. Why? Because she thought by seduction she will be able to escape. And this is something that was unique, or that was something about Jezebel. But for Jezebel to be killed, she had to be killed by eunuchs, those that are dead to the flesh. Now you see, when we speak of Jezebel, the spirit, now this is a spirit that is enticing people to what? Enticing people to seduction. That's why he's saying, seducing my servants. Seducing my servants. Why is it seduction? Because it's like awakening people to a lust that is not of God. What does seduction do? Seduction does attracts people. It's like you paint a picture, like let's say a picture of pleasure or a picture of money. And you see, when we think of adultery here and things, food sacrificed to idols, we are not just thinking not only of just the actual food that is sacrificed to idols or the immorality that is being done, but we are thinking of when you turn the hearts of people away from following after God and turn them to another God. Remember when God says, you cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and mammon. You will either love one and hate the other. No man can serve two masters. That means that you can find that you're preaching, but in your preaching, instead of turning people to God, you are seducing them. You are showing them, oh yeah, you know, by the way, I did this. And, you know, I've been able to get this money. I've been able to get these acquisitions and all that. And you see, instead of turning people towards righteousness, people are now like, oh, maybe if I start this church, I can also get this amount of money. And so the God that is shared, or rather the spirit that comes out, that is communicated from the altar, then becomes wrong. And you see, she calls herself a prophetess or a prophet. That means she was standing at the altar and she was teaching God's servant the wrong doctrine. And you see, the Bible says you allow. That means that God is asking the church, don't you have discernment to see that you should not be inviting this minister to come and minister on your pulpit? Why? Because when you do that, the awakening that comes, the enticement to flesh, the enticement to, you know, to food offered to idols or to seduction becomes different. And this is something that you will see if it is a male or a female person at the altar from their dressing. You know, your concern, I mean, if you even listen to the speeches, people are just like, oh, look at the beauty, or look at the, you know, it's the flesh. Someone is attracted to the flesh. Why? Because either the dressing of the person or the use of excess, you know, painting of face and makeup and all that. And it is more of seduction. And actually, the sad thing is, when these people preach, most of the time they're actually in immorality themselves, you know. And the spirit that comes, that is communicated from that altar, is one that leads the people, the hearts of the people, astray. And you find that someone says that after I went to this church, or after I listened to this person, you find that you are more immoral, or you are driven, it's like you're communicated to a spirit of lust. And remember, lust goes in the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, you know, and the pride of life. And you see, and this is something that also we pick when we see verse 24, where he says that, now to you I say, and to the rest that are in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, and who have not yet known the depths of Satan, or the deeper truths, you know, the NLT puts it as the deeper truths, the depths of Satan. That means that they are teaching doctrine, and they say, no, 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 this is a deeper truth. I will teach you a deeper truth. But you see, it is easily possible, if you are not discerning, you will think that you are being taught depths, but these depths are not of God. They are depths of Satan. They are demonic doctrines. Unless God's Spirit gives you discernment, you can easily find that you have fallen into mixture and into being taught about Satan. And you see, and when you think about it, if the teaching of the church is more about Satan, like I remember there was once where I went to a place, I was looking for a church, and when I went to this church, and this is a church that is ideally known, you know, for deliverance, and the message of the day was, if I remember well, it was the types of demons. And I was wondering, why are we learning about the types of demons? And you can see they start saying, okay, first there's this kind of demon that, you know, when it comes on someone, it makes them, you know, men and women run after them, and they want them to commit immorality with them. Then there's another one that is a dwarf, I don't know what. If you do this, you cannot grow, you're stagnated. And from the moment I was there, I realized I'm in the wrong place. But now you see, the challenge is, I was thinking that now it's those things where if you stand to get out, they will, you know, they will say you must have one. So they might hold you and start slapping you. So I was like, okay, let me just stay a bit and look for an opportune moment to come out. And And of course, when they started praying for people, those demons that they have been teaching the people about start to manifest. Paul, when he taught, he said that, when I was with you, I sought to know nothing except Christ. That means that if we just focus on Christ and who he is, it is enough to grow the people. It is enough for them to know their authority in Christ, that they will know that they are seated with Christ far above all powers, all principalities, all thrones, every name in this world and in the world to come. And by us teaching Christ, then we don't need to learn about the depths of Satan. And this is the problem of the Church of Thyatira, in that they compromised their pulpit. You know, their pulpit was corrupted. It was with strange fires. And because of that, the people, the hearts of the people were being led astray. They were being seduced to follow after other gods. They were being seduced to follow after power. It's just like when someone teaches, and the appealing of that message is that, you know, you start, instead of following after God, you're following after the idol of power, or you're following after the idol of wisdom, or you're following after the idol of wealth. This is the challenge that was there in the Thyatira church. And then he says, for those who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, I will give him power over the nations. And verse 27, he shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels. And I also have received from my Father, I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Look at, there is power over nations. There is a power over nations. And you know, one thing that we have to always keep remembering is that the realities of the kingdom of God are not only a future reality, they are also a present reality. That means that salvation is both now and is to come. Likewise, also, there are realities of the kingdom of God, eternal life. He says, this is now, now you have eternal life. Now, he's saying that as you have overcome, you have overcome. Who is it that overcomes? He that believes Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. He said, I will give you power over nations. That means that it's not even in just the age to come, that even today, God is able to give power over nations. And he says that we can destroy. We can destroy and rule over them with the rod of iron and destroy the works of darkness. When we overcome, when we learn to discern the false from the true, when we learn to separate ourselves, when we learn to protect the pulpits or to protect the altars, when we learn to know who is it that we listen to and who is it that we don't listen to, when you ask yourself after listening to, what is it that is generated in you? Is it a lust for money? Is it a lust for power? Is it a lust for wealth? Is it a lust for wisdom? Now, it is easy to be corrupted. And this is the corrupt church. Unfortunately, they are corrupted because of the corrupted pulpit and allowing the spirit of Jezebel to teach the servants of God. I pray that God will give us discernment. It's always wisdom to have limits in what we say, because some things are spiritually discerned, and it is for you to take time and examine and see some of the ministries that are there, and you can just clearly see and tell that this is off for this and this reason. I pray that God will give us wisdom in all this, and may his grace and his word be perfected in us. So over, my brother, you're welcome.
Thank you, Victor. Not much from my side.
Okay, thanks. Let us commit it in prayer. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you that indeed you come to warn us, O God. And indeed, I thank you for the church in Thyatira that were doing well, that had the love for God, that they had the zeal for God in their faith, in their service that was continually increasing, in their works that were greatly getting better and better. But you see, out of lack of discernment or various reasons, they permitted the wrong doctrine. I plead your mercies that indeed may we have eyes to see, may we have eyes to know where it is that we are being led astray, where it is we are seeking after other gods, seeking after things that are not you, O God. Our hearts are being moved astray. O God, we plead your mercies that indeed may hearts be open, may eyes be open, may discernment be found in your church, O God, to be able to tell the false from the true, O God. And I pray for eunuchs. I pray for men that have died to the flesh. I pray for men that have died to the desires and pleasures and the lust of this world, by which they are able to slay Jezebel, and by which they are able to rule and to commit and serve your purposes, O God. I pray that we may teach Christ, the churches may teach Christ, the doctrines will be Christ, O God, and that by you being glorified, O God, you shall draw men unto you, O God. Remember this day them that are not with us, our family members, our workplaces, indeed even the things that we need. We thank you that indeed we know we are provided for, that there is nothing that we miss that does not come from you. Your hand, your power, your presence goes ahead of us, keeps us and sustains us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom. Have a blessed day ahead.